Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus, a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I am Nolan.
And you are accidentally listening to episode 21.
Whoops.
You really meant to click on something else?
Yeah, I mean, I'm only assuming someone downloaded this to your device, or you clicked on a pop-up, or got a virus, and now you're listening to us.
We did insert this in lots of malware, didn't we? That was the plan.
That's our plan on how we're going to grow our podcast.
Yeah, forget word of mouth or anything like that. Just
viruses.
Force it on people.
Nolan, Kenny, did either of you collect something as a kid? I don't know, like rocks or baseball cards, pocket lint, anything of the sort?
Kenny collected rocks for sure.
That's only kind of true. Like, I'm a little bit of a hoarder, but not fully. Like, I went through the Pogs phase, if any of our viewers were around then.
You collected
That's
them?
Pretty old.
Uh-huh. I had a whole bunch of Pogs. Some really sweet slammers. Like, I was a baller on the playground that year.
Any of them, like, holographic or anything?
Uh-huh. I mean, I had it all.
Nice. Nolan?
Yeah, I did. I had Pokemon cards. I'm sure a lot of viewers had some Pokemon cards. Yeah, the thrill of getting a new pack and then getting a holographic that you already have was still fun.
I like how you say had. That was a good cover.
What do you mean?
As if you don't still collect them today.
I'm on to you.
It was good until you blew my cover by saying
that. I may or may not have collected Beanie Babies for a time, but I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one that did this. And one time we bought a dog and then we only had it for like 2 weeks and then my mom sold it again and I was really sad about it, and so she picked me up from school one day and took me to go buy a Beanie Baby, which was supposed to make it better. Yeah, but similar story, because I collected Pokemon cards for a little bit there, like you did, Nolan, but I gave away my complete collection to a kid that was dying in the hospital, which at the time was like a sweet and admirable thing to do. But now that I think about it, like, the kid was dying. He didn't need Pokemon cards.
It was worth the brief
I'm
happiness.
Just going to laugh this whole episode. What are you doing to me?
This really happened.
Dogs that, like, were put back.
Yeah. And then what happened? Like, they sold it and made money? Like, give me back my Pokemon cards. I should have said that. Like, you can have these until you're gone. Then please return them.
That's the worst thing. Who are you?
Well, it would have benefited you this week if you were a compact disc collector, because
no,
our game of the week had a unique relationship with the random CDs that you may have collected over the years. And we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. How about let's just jump right in and discuss this week's game, Monster Rancher 2.
Overview.
I've asked to do the overview because I feel the guys have too much of an emotional connection and would be overwhelmed by their excitement to define the game. So
to be like objective.
Yeah,
it's not an objectively hard game to talk about.
But like objective in the overview. So like, this game was released in 1999, but also 2000, and in my heart, 2016.
Yeah.
Monster Rancher 2 was released in 1999, so 17 years ago, falls well within our 15 years or older spectrum. It was developed by a company called Tecmo. I had never heard of Tecmo, but they're responsible for Ninja Gaiden, if that rings a bell. So,
that's a great game.
Yeah, I thought, you know, a bigger company would have, I don't know how big the company was, but a more well-known one would have done that. But yeah, they did Ninja Gaiden and Monster Rancher 2, I think, were probably their two big ones. This is a PlayStation 1 gem. I had never heard of it, but the series is also on the Game Boy Advance. It's not like a direct port or anything, I don't think. It's just, you know, it's got the Monster Rancher branding on it, because they couldn't have ported a PS1 game to the Game Boy Advance. But so what is Monster Rancher 2? It's a monster raising battling game. The actual, like, official genre under it is life simulation. And I don't know if that's I don't know if that's completely true because I don't have monsters.
No, this is real life.
Yeah. Oh, so it's actually, this is, I forgot,
like The Sims. For
you
real.
Actually raise monsters on the side, right, Dustin?
This is like The Sims, but a lot more realistic.
Yeah. Think Tamagotchi meets Pokemon. I mean, that's what I think when I played this game. I was like, worlds collide. So, I mean, Tamagotchi, the point of the game is to feed and raise your pets. So your pets in this game are your monsters, friendly monsters, much like Pokemon. And the point is to raise them, make them stronger, train them on your ranch, and then enter them into tournaments with the obvious goal to win the tournament and then gain money and rewards. You play as a faceless trainer, and you're kind of helped out by this, I don't know, trainer assistant. And it's funny because when you start the game, they're like, or your trainer assistant, what's his name or her name?
Her name is Colt.
Colt, but it's kind of ambiguous whether it's a girl or a boy.
Tell.
Yeah, she's a little gender neutral.
Okay, so your gender neutral trainer assistant is like, hey, I'm new too. I'm here to help you out. And then like, I asked it about. what a trainer assistant does, and they're like, well, they're veterans who have a lot of experience with monsters, and so they help you. And I'm like, I thought you just said you're new. So
yeah,
that's your player, that's your relationship to the game. Story, I don't know, you guys might have to help me on that. It doesn't seem like there's some kind of compelling story. So like Pokemon, there's definitely a story. You're rival is Gary, and your end goal is the Elite Four to be the best Pokemon trainer. So I guess that's what the goal is here. You want to be the best monster rancher.
I mean, it's very similar. Like, all right, so you want to be the very best, like no one ever was, and to catch you want to catch them all, being your real test, and then you train them, which is your cause.
Okay.
You travel across
the land.
Can we get
some music?
I mean, realistically, this is. I think Monster Rancher, the original, this is Monster Rancher 2. Monster Rancher, the original, came out a year or so after Pokemon, so I'm sure there was some relationship there. And this was more of a, like, focused less on an RPG narrative type thing that Pokemon may have had, and more of the actual raising and relationship with the monster type thing. And so, I mean, very similar to, you even said in Pokemon, I believe, that you fight the Final Four, is that what you said?
The Elite Four. And in this game, there's like, what's it called, the Mega Four? Or something?
No, The Big Four. It's the Big Four tournament. Okay. Yeah, so that's what your goal is. It's to raise... But see, what's so cool about this game, I don't know if I'm shining through with my opinions of it yet, is that like it's not just about that one monster you're working with. The game is really about you, the trainer. And so you will have one monster that you raise up and that you grow and that you train and that you battle with. But at some point, they're either going to die or retire. And then you can combine before they die, you can combine them with another monster to create a new monster with some upgraded stats, or you can just, you know, put them, like, freeze them and keep them in isolation and start with a new monster with maybe a disc that monster found as you were raising that monster. Anyway, so your goal as the trainer is to raise up a monster that can compete and win in that Big Four tournament.
They only live like what, 3 to 4 in-game years or something like that? I was like, why?
It depends on the monster and on how they're treated and on a lot of different things, but probably on average 4 years.
Yeah.
That's sad. Yeah.
No, it is really sad.
So you've already mentioned it, but the weird thing about, it's not, I mean, I guess it's a gimmick, but it's kind of cool. He talked about CDs. Do you want to explain that, how that works in this game?
Kenny really should explain it because Kenny has spent the most time working on these CDs.
That is not true, maybe.
Yes!
The first time I played through this game, I did a lot of mining for new monsters. That was years ago. On the emulated version, I actually couldn't get the whole like CD finding thing to work, so our playthrough this week, I didn't get to do any like new monsters or scavenging of my home. But the way this works is... it is programmed to look at like the data that's on a CD. I don't know exactly how it works. The size of information on a disc, the kind of information it is, whatever, some kind of proprietary just randomizer. And depending on what CD you put in, you will unlock different monsters to train. Some monsters, that's the only way you can get them. They can have different stats, different body shapes, different types than other things that you could get other ways. And so, except for like combining and breeding monsters that are you have already developed in the game, it's the primary way of unlocking different monster types. So it was actually a really integral part of this game on the PlayStation.
A really cool gimmick that other games, you know, don't have for the most part, where you actually open up your PlayStation lid, remove the Monster Rancher 2 CD, and then put in, for example, a Nirvana album, and that can get you a unique monster that you can then raise. And so, like, that's a... And then you put back in the Monster Rancher 2 CD, and you continue with your game with that new monster. It's just a really cool system that drew a lot of people to Monster Rancher.
Yeah, because you know y'all had tons of just useless CDs back then, because I did. I had a whole bin of them, but I didn't want to throw them out.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's talk about some of like the unique and specifics in our section on gameplay.
Gameplay.
So there are two primary areas that you're going to spend the majority of your time. One is your ranch, and then the other is the battle arena. And so you start the game with like 5,000 of their currency, 5,000 gold, 5,000 gil, whatever it is. And with that money, you are to raise this monster that you got from the market. You go to the market at the very beginning of the game, and you get for free one of the three monsters on rotation.
Or
you pop in a CD, I guess.
And you just go fresh from the disc stone.
Okay, but Kenny, this week you took which free monster from the market?
You know, I played a little bit of each of them.
Really?
But probably spent the most time on the really annoying one that was yellow and had a giant head and then a little like tadpole tail that he stands on. Yeah.
Soizo. All right, so that's the type of monster. Nolan?
I went with Machi. Mochi?
Yeah,
the little...
I knew you would.
Adorable pink...
Yeah, penguin-looking
duck
thing.
Type thing. Mm-hmm. And I went with the Mochi, too. And so you get that from the market, you go back to your ranch, and that at the ranch is where you train, at the ranch is where at the start of every month you feed, and you've got different food options that cost a different amount of your gold.
And then do different things, like... Some of the monsters don't like certain foods and stuff like that.
Right. And it's not just the monster type. Like each like my Mochi has a different personality to some degree than your Mochi, because they're all unique when they're kind of spawned. And you know, mine may have not liked fish, but yours could have loved fish.
Right.
Mine would have liked Jell-O, for example. But like so at the ranch, you train them, you feed them, you rest them, you feed them treats, you play with them. From there, you can send them on errand trees, which are like month-long experiences where each week they try to overcome some obstacle, and they can possibly receive a technique or an attack ability that they can use in the battlegrounds when they're out there. They can die, so that's dangerous to send them out there if they're unprepared. And then that's kind of like what happens from the ranch. And then you want to eventually take them into the battle arena. Which one of you can explain that?
Battle arena is actually kind of fun. I don't know. I like the interaction. It's basically your monster against another monster. And you go in and have a set amount of time, and you either knock the other monster out in that amount of time, or the monster that has the higher life percentage at the end of the battle is the winner. There's always a winner, and it's based on just percent of life left. And you go in and use the techniques your monster has used to fight. And it's kind of interesting because the techniques change depending on how close or far away you are from the other monster. And so you're basically pushing left or right kind of the whole time to choose a certain technique while the other monster is also either moving towards you or away from you at the same time. And then you select that skill, and you do what you do and either hit him or miss him, or maybe your monster gets distracted and fools around instead of listening to what you're telling him to do, and you battle, and whoever wins is the winner.
And one of the little, I guess the main mechanic in the battles is what's called a guts bar, and that's kind of your, I don't know, guys, like what, your AP that you can spend to use on like your techniques.
Yeah, that's a great comparison.
It's got like a percentage hit, and you have 50 guts at the beginning and you spend it, but it will slowly recharge. So you have, there's some strategy of like how often to use a technique, and like that's kind of like the main bar that you're looking at to determine, you know, what you should use or not use.
Well, and each monster has different kinds of attacks and different ranges of attack. And the win is just based on at the end of the time having the most life. So it might be right in one fight for you to just like go and hit the other monster one time and then try and stay out of range of them and get sort of a gimmicky win. But it might be right for you to run right up into their face and hit them again and again and again and knock them out.
I love that. There really is a lot of strategy with that, because there were some
monsters, as simple as it is, there's a lot. Yeah.
Before you battle them, right before, you see the stats compared with your stats of the monster that you're about to fight. And so with that from the beginning, your brain's turning and you're being able to think, okay, well, they've got a huge defense, so I'm not going to be able to. So I've got to hit a lot. That's what I've got to do. Or they've got a low defense, but they've got a high power attack, so maybe I want to hit them then I want to stay back and stay away from them. And they might only have like within their, they might only have attack abilities within their two closest ranges, and so if you keep them at a distant range, then they have no ability to even attack you with. So there's just so much strategy involved with that. And then so you've got a calendar back at your ranch that shows you there's battles all the time. And at the, I think at quarterly, maybe every 3 months, there is the official battle of each rank. And your ranks start from, I think, like F, which is the lowest, and they go all the way up to S rank, which it's going to be alphabetical until it gets to A, and then I think it goes to S.
Top tier.
All throughout the month and in different months, there are different kinds of battles that are, you know, for gaining more money and gaining more fame, and you even gain some experience and stuff like that, but you don't move up or down in rankings. So there's all sorts of battles that you can involve yourself in whenever you want to, when you're not training. And so there's just so much flexibility, so much strategy involved. You can't overtax your monster or your relationship with them, because there's also a bond that you're trying to build. Mm-hmm.
They'll stop liking you.
Yeah, they'll stop liking you and they won't respond to you, because in battle, you can only give them suggestions. They're still monsters and they're still wild, so they might not respond well to you depending on where your relationship is, whether it is too bad or too good. Like, they can be so happy with you that they'll barely fight, and they won't respond well either. So it's this really balance that you're trying to find in the training and in the battle aspect of the game.
So Dustin, you said that our mochis were different. Were our stats also like random?
Somewhat. I think they're similar based on like monster type, but I think there's some variation there.
Okay, because like, my speed was what like my best stat. I mean, I've trained it some,
I think they are similar, but I don't know if they're identical. And then definitely, like, within the first month of us raising, they're obviously going to be different.
Drastically different.
Because we're going to train them in different areas. The training is so cool, too, because you've got about 9 different training...
Mini-games. They're mini-games.
You've got 9 different training mini-games, and... So some of them bring up your fatigue a little and that stat a little. So you can work on your power stat by taking your monster to this training field where they hit some blocks and the blocks fall over, and hopefully they knock over every single one of the blocks.
Calling them mini games is a little bit generous. They're like mini activities that your monsters just perform while you watch, and either they succeed or fail. If there was actually some like gameplay there or some interaction, it would be a lot less like watching of something happen while you give really simple directions.
That's a good point. It's probably not the best term to use for it, because it's not like a when I think mini game, I think of Mario Party. Like, that's a mini game. Right. This is not like that. It's more like watching
Like you watch your monster read.
The intelligence one cheats
and you get upset with it.
You go to class and get taught by a toucan, and like that's how you raise your intelligence.
Yeah, I don't know if we mentioned that the ambiguous gender of Colt, your assistant, has a toucan named Joy that actually helps train your monster. So it's not weird yet, but
this really is a weird game as we talk about.
Like
it.
I was starting to say, maybe it's not a mini game, but that wasn't my point. But the monster hits the blocks, knocks them over, and if they succeed, then they get a stat increase with a little bit of fatigue increase. If they fail, then you have the possibility of scolding them, which you do need to do at times.
But they're so cute. But
they can also cheat, which that's if they've got a bad relationship with you. My Mochi never cheated. Or they can succeed greatly. That's if they have a really good day, or they're just feeling really good, and instead of maybe knocking the blocks over, they hit the block with so much force that they all just shatter to pieces. And so then they get a huge upgrade. So you've got those kind of trainings, and then you've got a few trainings at the bottom that significantly ups a specific stat if they succeed, and brings up a subsequent stat, but also significantly brings up your fatigue as well. So you've got these different things to play with depending on how your monster is feeling that morning when it wakes up.
Kenny, I'm asking you because I think you may have the most experience with the game. My Mochi, is it viable to do multiple builds, like where I could just invest in like power or like speed mostly,
You can do whatever you want with it. You could stay really balanced. You could focus on one thing that wasn't like its obvious primary trait. It's generally most effective, like most things are, to sort of focus.
A balance.
No, I found like you pour almost everything into one trait that you really just abuse. And that also, I believe, helps more when you're like breeding them later, because it's based on like how similar the two things that you're combining are in terms of like what kind of outcome you're going to get. And so if you have really balanced things, or you know, if you like level things up in different ways, it gets a little bit harder to track and know how they're going to combine. So there's really no rules. You can do whatever you want. But generally speaking, there's like a type that each monster is, and you want to kind of lean into their normal sort of strength. You know, if something starts with high intelligence, it's probably best to kind of keep it intelligence heavy.
All right. You ready for story time?
Yeah, let's hear it. I think I've heard this, but I don't know.
Gather around.
We talked. Are you telling our Monster Rancher 2 story?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
We were in college, and Kenny would come to my room regularly. I don't even know if he had a room. Well, I guess he did. He just slept there. That's pretty much all he did. And he was over in our room regularly. We had systems, and we'd play games. Anyways, for some reason, I guess that week he'd realized that I had a Monster Rancher 2 game. I don't know how the realization.
You got me on it.
Sure.
This was not an I decided to play it. You were like, hey, you should play this game.
Yeah, just think like I'm drug dealer and Kenny's the person that is really like needs the drugs. And so I know what works with Kenny. So I pushed this game called Monster Rancher 2 towards him that I had since I was a kid. And so that evening after classes, Kenny starts playing Monster Rancher 2, which is great. Within, I don't know, 30 minutes, my floor is covered with CDs. I'm pretty sure that Kenny had gone up and down the hall of our dorm just collecting people's CDs.
I did ask random people for audio CDs that they had.
Yeah,
and this was kind of at the end of when people even had audio CDs anymore. I mean, they still did, but it wasn't like in its prime, and so everyone looked at me a little funny.
but then at the same time, they were liberal with giving up, you know, and letting their CDs be borrowed for this purpose, because it wasn't that most of it had been moved to digital. So Kenny had borrowed all these CDs. I believe at the time too, he had at least one white sheet of paper where he was cataloging all of these CDs that did have monsters connected to them.
Oh, come on.
And so he was just, I think this was even before Kenny played the game proper. I think this is one of the first things he
found
doing.
Out about the mechanic and was like, hang on, I'll be right back.
Hold on. I gotta go find some monsters.
He was writing down and cataloging his record. Now, all this is great, but regularly I would, our room was used for gaming often, so I would be able to easily fall asleep while I'm watching people play Halo 2 together or watching people play just various games together. Anyway, so this is one of those times that I was in bed and I was just watching Kenny from my bed play Monster Rancher 2. I fall asleep. We've got class the next day, whatever. I wake up to my alarm at, 7:30, ready to go to my 8 o'clock class, whatever it might be. Kenny is still sitting on my floor playing Monster Rancher 2.
Awake. Not I woke up again and came back to play. Still.
Kenny had played Monster Rancher 2 all night long.
That's, I think, maybe the only time I've ever done that with a video game in my entire life.
We had class the next morning, and the thing that amazed me the most, if I recall correctly, he was still rolling with the same monster, so his monster hadn't even died or retired yet.
Oh, no. I'd upgraded.
Okay.
I had the same, like, monster types, but gotcha. I was on, like, third or fourth generation by that point.
Look, yeah. The all-night thing is fine. Like, I guess that happens. Not really, but...
No,
but this game
doesn't.
Is what... The Monster Rancher 2 is the game that you decided to spend 8 hours
on. I agree, and after this week, I'm a little confused about that. Like, it's a fun game.
I am too, I never understand.
But it's not that good.
It's well, not. Apparently it was for you, because you played it all night long.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. It hooked me. It was one of, by no means the, but one of the more ridiculous gaming things I've done.
It was a wonderful memory from college, one of my many from Kenny alone, but one of my better ones, thinking of watching him play Monster Rancher 2 at 10 o'clock p.m. and then waking up at 7:30, 8 o'clock a.m., seeing him still playing the game was just an incredible experience.
Still just lying on the floor, immobile.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
It was ridiculous.
Let's talk about how this game aged.
Aged.
I guess since I'm the one who got ridiculed or celebrated, depending on your perspective, for my experiences with this game, I'll talk about it. I don't know, there's some aspects of it that are really fun that you can pick up and enjoy even after the game came out, clearly. I do think some of the fun of the game is the mechanic of the CD, which, when you're playing it not on an actual PlayStation, I don't know if you can get to work. I didn't fight with it a lot this week, but it didn't seem intuitive. And so that piece... Even the fact that you need CDs and people just, like, don't have CDs anymore automatically makes it, like, work against itself on the aging well thing. Like, you've tied a lot of your, like...
Yeah, that's true.
...bonus feature of the game into something that just has itself phased out. And so that really kind of works against it. It's definitely a little dated. Like, I mean, all our games are, but kind of almost obnoxiously so on the graphics front. It's one of those games that, like, happened early when things were going, like, three-dimensional, and, like, it's not a pretty game. It's fine. They did fine for the time. So it's got a lot of things, like, against it aging well, but there is a really fun battle system, and that kind of appeal that was really popular back in the, like, Tamagotchi era, but probably is less so today, but is still sort of universal, of, you know, raising a creature and developing it, and then doing things with it, is kind of a fun game style. And so I think the like core gameplay is still enjoyable, but lots of things that make it much less accessible than it could, in my mind.
Maybe I'm jaded, but I think it has aged well, and let me explain why. I think there's so much replay value with this game.
There is a lot of replay ability.
You can technically beat the game by, like what we said earlier, raising a monster to win the Big Four tournament, and then you get a summary of that monster's life. But then the game is not over at that point. The game doesn't end. You never see a credits screen. Well, you might then, but like then it goes right back to your ranch. The game's not over because it's not about that monster. It's about you as a trainer. And so,
sure. And there's still other like missions to go on and other monsters to unlock. And yeah, it's a pretty open kind of experience.
That there's so much content. We've talked about the way that you can get monsters. Guys, there are over 400 different monsters.
That's pretty impressive.
That's really impressive. And that's not monster types. Like, there's going to be probably about 6 different kinds of
mochis.
That's
unique monsters?
Yeah. Well, like, for example, there are probably 4 to 6 different kinds of mochis. There's probably, like, 4 to 6 different kind of suezos. But they're still unique in their look and in their stats and in their personality. as Kenny just mentioned, there's expeditions, which are the, no, there's errantries, which are those quick month-long things, but probably neither of you got to it this week, but late in the game, usually during your second or third monster, expeditions open up, which is just a whole nother thing where you go with your monster to a place, and then it's a maze, and you've only got like a certain amount of steps. Do you remember that, Kenny,
uh-huh.
from playing it back when you played it all throughout the night? There's these other things that open up late into your playing experience. There's endless battles. The battles never stop coming up and showing up on your calendar. I think it aged beautifully. There's so much to do. People who enjoy these types of games, I think, will absolutely enjoy Monster Rancher 2.
And maybe that's where the kicker is. I think maybe it's one that, like, is a good game for someone who specifically likes that kind of game.
That's interesting you guys say that, because I do take interest in these types of games. Like, I'm a big Pokemon fan. But then there's also this game in Sonic Adventure DX for the GameCube. Aside from doing the levels and stuff, it was almost like a free roam type of map. And in the stages, you could collect, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but it's spelled like Chaos, but I think they're called KOs. And they're these little cute big-headed thingies. And you raise them, like you take them back, and you have a little like nursery of them. And so it's very similar, like you raise them and then you can race them and raise their stats. So I really like that style. But I didn't like this game. Like I felt the age of it really hard. And it's not like I care that the graphics have to be impeccable. It wasn't that. I will say I always am impressed with the amount of content. In a game like this, there's a lot of bonus stuff. Like Dustin said, there's a lot of modes. I didn't know there were that many monsters, so that's really cool. I mean, the original Pokemon only had 151. So I like the amount of content. I respect the CD gimmick. I think that's cool. But Kenny's already said that aged on its own. Like, you can't deny that. But the game itself, for me, did not feel that fun. I found the battle system a little clunky. I like the whole guts mechanic and, you know, the way it works, but I don't know. I want to find the battle system fun, and it just didn't click for me for whatever reason.
Yeah. All right, let's summarize.
The final shell shock.
So for me, on that note, this game does not get the new game plus. I wouldn't recommend it, and I wouldn't play it again. Sorry, Kenny and Dustin.
Oh, it's fine. I actually was expecting to just love this game because of that fun, like, nostalgic recollection, and did have a few enjoyable moments, but overall struggled with, like, getting into the game enough for it to get fun. And I think that's kind of the trick, is until you've, like, really developed a monster and unlocked some of those other things and figured out what actually works in training and all of that stuff that really takes a lot of knowledge. Either you need to, like, have played a lot of this game, or like look up a guide onto how to really do it effectively, or else you're going to just struggle. For a lot of those reasons, and the fact that I couldn't, you know, go ravenously collect CDs and see what monsters I could unlock just because there's some inherent fun factor there, I didn't enjoy this game nearly as much this go round as I did my first. And so I've actually got to agree, though I'm probably somewhere in the middle between you guys, I've got to agree with Nolan on this one and not actually give it my New Game Plus seal of approval, which is probably surprising considering.
You took so long to say that.
I know, just because I feel bad about it. Like, there's some guilt there. Like, I feel like I'm cheating on this game that we had a good relationship going, even if it was just sort of like a one-night thing.
Look, Kenny, it was a one-night stand. Just leave it at that. Like, don't try to make it something it's not.
I would give it my New Game Plus status, which means I would encourage our viewers to get access to the game and to play it. I would absolutely do that. I think it's fun. I think it's cute. I think it's easy to learn. I think there's so much content that even without the disc, if you've got a PlayStation, Like, get to work now. Bring out your Monster Rancher 2 copy. Get a Monster Rancher 2 copy and spend the rest of your day going through your old CD collection to see if those discs still work and what kind of monsters they'll get you, because that's just it's a cool function. But if you're on a different system trying to emulate or whatever, I'd say still enjoy this game. It's a great game. It's a fun game. Let's respond to a few of our viewers who wrote in. Bill sent in this. He said, oh man, I'm so excited that you guys played Monster Rancher 2 this week. This was a staple during college for me, right up there with Smash Bros. Melee.
Ooh, my boy.
That's a classic game.
My junior year, I was in a 7-person suite and I broke out this game. Next thing I knew, we had half a dozen people coming in and out of our place, bringing in all their CDs.
See, this wasn't just me.
This was 2003, so CDs were abundant. My main character was a Suezo who had an incredibly high intelligence, high like 900. He was great in a fight, but the best thing was the adventures you could go on. I loved the adventures. They were my favorite part by far. It was awesome to play this game before any sort of real walkthrough. I had a list of CDs that would make unique monsters, but aside from that, I was just flying blind. I hope you guys enjoyed the game. It's high on the nostalgia meter for me, and I'm dying to hear what you guys thought about it and what your favorite monsters were. Keep up the good work. And then he said, P.S. Happy birthday, Kenny. Grow up and be a strong monster. Which, when your monster's birthday, if you're at your ranch and it becomes your monster's birthday, Toucan brings him a cake and a song plays, and it always is like, grow up and be a strong monster. So
I love it.
Wonderful. Who sent that in?
That was Bill.
Bill, thanks for validating my experience.
No, Kenny, it was not justified.
Yes.
No, but that's really cool that he has the connection so similar to you guys. I love that. That's really funny.
Okay, so Bill, at the end of that, asks a question, being which monster was our favorite. I think that would be a fun thing to go through and share. So anybody have thoughts on a monster that's close to your heart?
Yeah. My experience in my first time in the battle arena, I fought this rabbit that was so bottom heavy, like he's kind of chubby and just did this little thrusting dance the whole time, and it's really funny. So Hare is his name, and that's my favorite monster.
Yeah, that was a really good one. I've always, like, since a kid, I liked this. There's like this tiger wolf like monster that has curved horns on its head, and it's usually different colors, but like the top of it is usually like a darker shade, like blue, and then the bottom is like gray and white. And I always liked that kind of like wolf type pet, because at the ranch it was really sweet, really friendly, but when it got into battle it was really fierce. And so that tiger type wolf is what was my favorite.
I don't remember the actual name type of mine. I remember what I named it. I think it was Lil Mikey. But my favorite, and this is from like my stupid epic playthrough, was a like monkey type. He was like a strong gorilla looking thing and had like all sorts of strength and would just wreck everybody. And he was fun.
He also had an ability that he could eat a banana and then throw the wrapping. That's not what covers
the
banana
peel?
The peel,
the banana wrapping,
the peel at the enemy. So that was really cool too. I remember Big Mikey, Lil Mikey,
yeah.
Big Mikey,
Lil Mikey,
Lil Mikey.
They're different ones. We went through a progression.
Gotcha. Awesome. Stella Fader said, let's see, the best part of Monster Rancher 2 for me was using CDs to generate monsters. It was like magic. I would spend hours sitting on the floor next to my PS1 with my parents' entire CD collection. I even had a log of what I got. Internet access was limited to dial-up in my basement in 99. I would even cart my PS1 over to friends' places to use their CD collections too. I absolutely loved it. It's a pity that later generations of the game weren't as awesome. The DS1 is probably the best since the PS1 days, though.
Yeah, it looks like it went up to Monster Rancher 4 for PlayStation 2. I'm also seeing another one called Monster Rancher Evo. So I think Monster Rancher 2 was probably the highlight for most people, you know?
I'm telling you, sequels are where it's at. We're going to secretly prove this hypothesis over the course of this game experience.
We had a tweet that was related to our Monster Rancher 2 experience. Davey Mallet responded to one of our MR2 related tweets saying the worst thing. It was just three words. I'm not sure if it was a fake account or not, like maybe a spam account, but you know, I just thought I would include that either way.
I disagree with you. I could see how people could have that reaction though. Like if you don't dig in and if you're not like the kind of person that likes that kind of game, I could see it. I disagree as well, but I could see it.
That was my throwaway account.
Let's see.
Nolan, when he says the things he can't say on the podcast.
Yeah. All right, well, let's say goodbye to Monster Rancher 2. Some of us will be happy to say goodbye. I'm going to mourn it. Actually, I'm probably going to play with my mochi right after this. I don't know if I can say I'm going to play with my mochi.
That's a little...
Right after this.
Until
next time, Monster Rancher 2. All right, fellas, we are not randomly selecting a game this week.
Oh,
well,
why not?
Great, in unison. Because next week, we are going to have another guest on our podcast.
Woo!
Sweet deal.
DanQ8000, an incredible YouTube gamer. We are excited to have him on. He uploads Let's Plays regularly, and he has actually selected one of his favorite games from his childhood for us to play this week.
Very cool. So what are we going to be playing?
The game is Vigilante 8.
Vigilante. Awesome.
Vigilante.
I don't know.
Vigilante.
Vigilante 2.
Ocho.
Now I can't even say it right.
You're going to get yourself in trouble.
Vigilante 8 is a vehicular combat game. Excited about this. We haven't played one of these types of games on this podcast yet, so this will be a first. It's on PlayStation. So if you have access to this game in any form or fashion, play it along with us. It would be easy for you to pick up and play this week, I guarantee you. If you enjoyed the podcast this week, would you just take a moment to subscribe or rate and review it on iTunes or SoundCloud? Seriously, that would help us tremendously if you were to do that. Thank you guys so much for this early support. This is something that we want to do for an extended period of time. And so your support in these early days, is kind of what keeps us going.
It's a big deal.
And yeah, we absolutely cherish your input and your interaction, whether you tweet us or you message us on Facebook or you send us an email or whatever it might be. We really love those things. You can find us online at ngppodcast.com. That's kind of our central hub. You can email us at ngppodcast@gmail.com. And we're really looking forward to next week with Dan Q. Until then, I'm Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
And I'm Nolan.
And this has been New Game Plus.
Bounce, 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 but down, down, down.
You've never listened. That's not our theme song.
No, that's my theme song.